So I have a fun picture to show you, Don. You
Okay.
ready? I
Yep.
sent it to you. I want to know, did you laugh when you saw this?
Well, I love old cars.
Did you have this car or grow
No,
up with it?
but we had plenty of station wagons.
Yeah, a town and
Yeah,
country.
yes.
This is fancy. This was like high-end
Oh,
back
I'll
in the
say.
day. I mean, and you could fit everybody in it.
Did it have seats in the back and you'd face the back too,
Yes.
or not?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
And not
I love
only,
it.
here's the other thing about that, those seats would fold down.
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember as a child that your parents, when you took a family vacation, they would wake up before the sun did and they'd carry your little body out. They'd make a bed in the back of
Yes.
the station wagon and everybody would sleep because they wanted to get in as many hours as possible without any wild kids. I think it's funny because I tell my kids these stories about how we laid in the back of the station wagon and we slept for hours while we drove. Nobody wore seat belts. Nobody was
That's
buckled in.
correct.
Yeah. And when I tell my kids these stories about what it was like driving back in the day, they freak out. They're like, "You didn't have seat belts? What kind of parents did you have? They must have been, did they not care about your lives?" Like, my girls can't even fathom a world without seat belt laws or even car seats. In fact, you can go somewhere and have somebody properly install your baby car seat for you. That's how serious we are about this safety. And I love telling kids stories from back in the day because in their minds, they judge it so harsh. They're like, "That is crazy. I can't believe it. Your parents must have been terrible. They didn't love you." And the reason I bring this story up is because it's so easy for us to do what my daughters do with my time, is for us to look back on time and judge it and say,
Yes.
"What were they thinking?" So today we're going to talk about a very specific word that does what my daughters did, and to be honest, I've done to many generations in the past. And why that word is so important to know as you study the scriptures this year, specifically the Old Testament. Welcome to Jesus Christ in Scripture, Finding Christ on Every Page. I'm Tammy Uzalak Hall. This is my friend, Dr. Donald W. Perry, and this is part two of this week's episode of the Come Follow Me lesson, where we're studying the stories about Joseph. And we are going to talk about a very important word as we continue to study the scripture. So, Don, what's the word? Why do we need to know it?
The word is presentism. Presentism.
Okay, let's write that down.
Another word would be nowism. Here's a simple definition. It's the tendency to interpret past events in terms of modern values and concepts. And just like you, I have judged grandparents, parents,
Oh,
and
yeah.
others based on the present, and I was wrong. So I loved your example of the station wagon. By the way, some of our earlier cars didn't have air conditioning. And so you'd go down the highway and all the windows would be rolled down and you'd hear the wind, but at least a little breeze would help.
Well, and it was probably nice too because there was no FM radio, so
Oh, that's
you don't want to
true.
even hear
Oh,
the
that's
AM.
true.
Put the windows
Yeah.
down, who cares?
So here's an example of a 1816 boy from England, and for Christmas he gets an orange and he's
Yeah.
thankful because oranges were not common. You couldn't just go to the store like we do now and get a dozen oranges. And he says, "Thank you, Mom, for the orange." And then fast forward to 2020, a boy from the USA, and he's looking at the iPad, and he said, "I wanted a red one, not blue." So that's an example of several
I
generations.
would put an orange in my kids' stocking every year
Yeah.
just to remind them of this
Oh,
story,
I love
because
it.
that's how I was raised, to
Yeah,
remember
I
that
was
back in
too.
the day, that's
Yeah.
all you got.
Here's a summary. So our
Yeah.
culture is much different than the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Book of Mormon, even Middle Ages and our grandpa's period. Many of the components that make up our culture, and if you think of them,
Oh, look at all
mass
of them.
media, cinema, foods and fashion, sports,
Automobiles, there it is.
automobiles, governments, commercialism, advertisements, internet, jet planes, everything. And if you look at this picture, just electricity and how people throughout the ages, most of them didn't have electricity and everything electricity does.
Yep. So comprehending two languages. So we have biblical Hebrew and then the language of culture. Since the Old Testament was written to Israel, it is a language that most of us do not understand and therefore requires translation. But the language is not the only language aspect that needs to be translated. Language assumes a culture, operates in a culture, serves in a culture, and is designed to communicate into a framework of culture. Consequently, when we read a text written in another language and addressed to another culture, we must translate the culture as well as the language, and we hope to understand the text fully.
So Sister Hall and I have endeavored and continue to study biblical Hebrew,
Yeah.
but that's just one of the two languages. As you just read, the other one is culture.
And the timing of this episode is specific because we're getting out of the book of Genesis and we are now going to get into Exodus and laws and practices and the law of Moses. And a lot of that is going to sound, the culture is going to make you cringe. That's okay. Just don't judge it. Like, it's
Yes,
important to
yeah.
understand what's going on in the Bible at the time and why this culture existed. So I think the timing is perfect.
So here's one example, four modes of travel. One is Mary and Joseph walking or on a donkey. Number two is, this is way in the future, 1900, but old times for us, horses and wagons. And I wanted to point out in this image, look at the way they're dressed. They're all wearing hats. They're wearing suits and ties, most of them. If you look over here, you can see electricity in 1900. Hmm. But they're still using horse and buggies, and this is carrying groceries, someone's grocers and so on. So that's a later stage, but they're still using horses.
Mm-hmm. Then we have in the 1930s, a traveling family, and then we have a self-driving car. I saw one in San Francisco a month ago, and it just blew all of our minds. I don't know if I trust it. It kind of makes me nervous.
I don't.
What do you call presentism if it's for future? Futurism?
Yeah.
I don't trust the future yet.
Yeah, I don't either. But one is travel.
This is fun. So the life expectancy, according to recent studies, the average life expectancy in Israel-Palestine during the decades of 152 BC and 135 AD was as follows. 32% children aged 0 to 5 died before 5 years
old. That's about a third.
Gosh.
So that means in my wife and 6 children, that means 2 out of the 6 would have died before 5 years old, on average.
Ooh. Another one, 43% of children ages 0 to 20 died before 20 years old. I mean, for me, it just speaks to the heartache the mothers must have experienced and had gone through.
Yeah.
For those who lived to be at least 20 years old, the life expectancy for a male was 38, and the female was 33. That's crazy.
So I've studied this at length because I'm very interested in all of this. And to help me to understand ancient cultures and how they operate. And one reason the scholars think the women life expectancy was 33 versus 38 is because of childbirth.
Yeah.
They had such a hard time with childbirth without our wonderful hospitals and so on. I'm so thankful to the scientists who came up with this instrument and this one and this one and helped us and the different medicines and so on. And I found one quote, I'm going to paraphrase it, and I might destroy it, but I think it will get the gist. One female said, I'd rather be on the front of the fighting line in a battle than giving birth to a child.
It is very scary, giving birth. I know for me in my own experience, my last child was 9 pounds, and I could not deliver that baby. And so I needed medical intervention for that child to be alive. That's amazing. So Don, here's my question then. When someone comes to you and they're experiencing this presentism, why do you think it's important for us to understand the concept of presentism as we're reading scriptures this year?
So we don't judge the ancients, our ancient brothers and sisters and their neighbors and the ancient countries. We don't look down on them and say, weird or why? And why did they do that? Why did they choose this? And why did they choose that? That's why.
Okay. I think that's a great way to look at this. So consider this word and teach this word every chance you get, because the Old Testament's long. Remember, it was a different time. And let's just embrace and try. And I love how you've made it your life's work. Like, try to understand, do the research, pay the price, so that you have those goggles on when you're reading their stories. And I think it will help the scriptures just come alive. So thank you for joining for this episode. Have fun studying your scriptures. And we look forward to next week when we get to dive into the book of Exodus. Shalom and goodbye.